Hello, and we are live again. So this is our third podcast of the new season, and it is the second part of the startup series where we're looking at some of the most exciting tech startups coming from Ireland. So I'm actually not in my normal background today. I'm actually in London at the Pocket Gamer Conference, going checking out some of the new mobile games that are coming out, new PlayStation games, or just generally like what is happening in the development world. So it's a bit of a change of pace for me today. Anyway, with me, I have Emma Meehan of Precision Sports Technology. So Emma, tell us who you are, what you do, and everything that's going on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, John. Great to be here. So my name is Emma, founder, CEO, and CTO of Precision Sports Technology. So we're based in Galway, out on the west coast of Ireland. And what we're building is a software platform for real-time feedback and analysis on exercise techniques to reduce risk of injury, enhance performance, and increase participation in strength conditioning and physiotherapy. So what's kind of the key differentiator about ours is that we have no wearables or any sensors needed for our system. We can give accurate real-time exercise feedback just using the new iPhone and iPad Pro models, because they have a LiDAR depth sensor built in, so we can get that speed and accuracy without having to strap on anything, configure it, anything like that. So really, really exciting times to be getting stuck into this with everything that's coming up now with AI machine learning and having phones that are such, you know, massive, hardware capabilities nowadays too.
Oh, that's really cool. It was actually a mate of mine, Craig Redden. He's my physio. He was the guy who actually recommended speaking to, because I swear to God, like the amount, like that man has spent, I'd say, the last 2 or 3 years trying to put me back together from all the damage I've done. I think you were saying you actually have a demo of the product. So I think that would be really cool to show it off, and then we'll let you, you know, we'll get you telling the whole story about how you got here.
Yeah, so like I have what the prototype is for the long-term vision of the product, I'd say. So this is basically the 3D model where this is, you know, rough and ready. This is set up in my home shed, let's say, where I was training all through lockdown on an older version of the system than we're using now. So our body tracking, we're doing way more points, it's way more accurate. But you can see here in this demo, it's blue at the moment. So it's calibrating your body type and completely individualizing it based on your age, gender, height, weight, training history, and injury history. So with this model then, as you're doing your exercises, the colors of the dots on the joints will change in real time to show you if you're in the correct position or not. So if you're squatting and your knees are caving in or your hips are shifting, it'll flag up to you straight away. So you know, okay, I need to correct this, because this came from my own kind of problems I was facing during weightlifting, which we can talk into in a bit. But what I figured out when going through startup programs is that you have to figure out, well, who's actually going to be the paying customer for this? And I actually learned that just having those data points is absolutely crucial for physiotherapists, strength conditioning coaches, athletic trainers like Craig, that if they can even get, like, how is someone moving, like, that's a huge value add to their business. So I can show you the little demo now of what we're actually launching to the market at the moment.
Yeah.
Ooh. So Phase three now is what you would have seen, the real-time color feedback changing. But this is the phase one, which we're actually launching on the 29th of January. Ooh. So what this app does is we provide highly accurate, objective movement analysis on certain patterns. So it's very much a sports science-focused, physiotherapy-focused, where they can essentially scan you if you're in for your session, and they can know straight away, how's your range of movement? Are there any asymmetries, instabilities? And then compare that to a week or two before. So if you're going back to Craig 3 weeks time, he can tell you, oh, you've improved 2.5% compared to the other week, which is a huge app for them in terms of educating the patient, being able to see who's progressing, who's regressing. Because some of the customers we've been speaking to now, like they're using things such as wearable sensors, manual angle measurement systems, just to try and get those values, which obviously takes a huge amount of time. You've no kind of digital record unless you actually enter it yourself. So this is phase one that we're launching now. And then phase two, the kind of step in between this and the real-time feedback, would be remote monitoring. So as a patient, you can just have this running on your own device at home. And then the physio or your, you know, SSC coach or personal trainer, they can know, well, are they doing their exercises? How well are they moving? And do I need to intervene? Is there anything I need to jump on here? So that's pretty much the product roadmap in a nutshell. Like I've been working on this for a few years now. So really where this all started was kind of from my degree. So I did computer science in IT, very much a techie by background. But my main passion is weightlifting and fitness. So I do Olympic weightlifting competitions. I'm a qualified personal trainer. Like the gym is very much my safe space. It's where, you know, like I get all kinds of, you know, mental relief, let's say. So, you know, I was training in the gym and I was thinking about like the problems that I face or anyone else who does weightlifting, where I could see in the mirror, I was lifting really heavy on my squats. My knees shift in. I know why, because of the glute imbalance, but most people don't know that. So they're either paying a fortune to have a trainer come in with them. They're sending videos to their trainer, which takes ages. You don't get instant feedback. They lose confidence and stop doing any weightlifting. Or worst case scenario, they actually like injure themselves and put themselves out of doing exercise altogether. So I thought, surely there's a way that that technology could help with this. So that's exactly where the idea basically came from. I did the very first prototype for this in my final year project back in 2017, let's say. So, yeah, that was 2017, 2018, and then was working in a software company for a few years. And then basically 2021, got on the New Frontiers program with Enterprise Ireland, and haven't looked back since, more than 2 years on this full time, and getting it out to market in the next couple of weeks, which is very exciting times.
I'm not going to lie, this was fantastic timing to even have this chat. Like, it's like, yeah, we're a week out. This yeah. So you were saying like this started back in college, and you've essentially like side hustling on the side outside of work. Like, I think that's where a lot of people start, and I think that's something that gets lost. Sometimes, you know, I think people just assume that it happens overnight, or you just someone will tank in the job and goes, I have an idea, let's see what happens. Like, no, there's an awful lot of work that goes in the background, and I'm sure, you know, 2017 to 2021, there's an awful lot of different renditions, I'd say. So actually, explain to me, like, how did you get from there to where you are now, I suppose? You know, like, what program, as you said, the New Frontiers, any other kind of programs, grants, and just kind of how did we get to where we are now, ready to publish next week?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely a huge thing you don't hear as much about, because, you know, the likes of Amazon, let's say, where, you know, he just went full on into building Amazon, but Jeff Bezos, his parents, like, put in $300,000 straight away into the business. It's nothing that myself or probably 95% of other startup founders can do. We just don't have the money to, you know, push hundreds of thousands into business and pay for, you know, staff, nice offices, etc. So, like, finishing up in college, I knew that there was definitely, you know, something in this that could be a really successful startup and a really useful product. So, I mean, there were three main things I wanted to do, which was enjoy life a little, because I worked my ass off in college, and I knew that I'd be working 10 times as hard in a startup. I wanted to actually get some experience working in software engineering in the real world, not just doing small little college projects. And then, you know, arguably the most important thing, save some money, because, like, I knew once I got the company going, I'd pretty much have no income for, you know, the foreseeable. So, you know, having that kind of, you know, I wouldn't say foresight, but you do need to make sure if you are thinking of running a startup, you try to put a few grand aside thinking, oh, I might not have any income for 6 months or a year or longer. Because if you want to put investment into product development, that means you can't use that to pay yourself unless you're actually building the product. So, I mean, from, like, yeah, 2018, from when I finished my college project until 2021, I was just going through all these kind of little refinements, improvements, because, like, the first version, like, it was for the Xbox Kinect. It was just where the idea kind of came up, where I knew I could just plug the Xbox into my laptop. It came with a software kit, so I could just start plugging away and seeing what worked, what didn't. And then I started building on the Intel RealSense cameras. So Intel sell these 3D cameras you can plug into a laptop, but they require a really beefy laptop to actually run the real-time body tracking. So I thought, right, you know, what's next? And then Apple came out with the LiDAR 3D sensing on the iPhone and iPad Pros. And I thought, okay, this is where this could really, really take off. So it was only at that stage then that I said, right, I'm going to apply for the Enterprise Ireland New Frontiers program. I mean, I was thinking about it kind of a bit earlier than that, but I missed the kind of rounds for the Go Mayo one, because it's only open once a year. And COVID happened, so I said, okay, I'll give it another few months to see how this all plays out, working a nice multinational job. So, like, New Frontiers is absolutely brilliant, because if you get onto the phase two, they select, you know, I think between like 10 and 15 people per section in the country. So for Go Mayo, there were like 14 of us in that cohort, and each of us got $2,500 a month for 6 months to work on the idea of full time, and three of us got an extra $2,500 for a further 3 months. So €22,500 in total, which was, you know, an absolutely brilliant salary replacement for myself, that, yeah, I don't have to worry about, you know, rent, bills, I can use this to cover that. So, you know, I was coming up kind of 3 or 4 months into New Frontiers, and Enterprise Ireland had their call to be a competitive start fund, as it was then, but it's the pre-seed start fund now. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm not ready yet. But the program manager actually pushed me, saying, look, Emma, you should definitely apply for this. You have something here. Because, you know, on their website, there's always these criteria of, oh, you know, you need to have a working MVP, customers, etc. But, you know, a lot of the time it's, you know, ambitions, guidelines, suppose these are hard, fast rules. So managed to get that first 50,000 investment from Enterprise Ireland. Then at the, it kind of, like, I applied in March 22 and the money landed in the bank in July after, you know, the few months of applications, pitches, etc. So I was able to use that to pay for two student interns that were in the same course as I did, because I knew exactly what stage they'd be at, me what I needed to get built, which is, I think, definitely a huge advantage of being a technical founder, because I knew what were the next steps I needed to build in the product. Because unfortunately, if you're not technical and you go through the outsourcing route, you can end up spending a load of money and not having the product what you actually, like, pictured it in your head. So, you know, it was definitely a big advantage to have, you know, that technical expertise in-house, I think. So those lads were in summer 22, and then back at the start of 2023, then they came back for their 8 month work placement, which is brilliant. I knew I'd have technical team then in at that stage. So we managed to make that, like, 50K investment stretch out 10 months, which was, you know, serious slog. Like, I wasn't taking any money, you know, for myself at that stage. It's living off the savings, New Frontiers stipend. And then I managed to get some angel investments. You know, the first few were really surprising, that they weren't people that I had heard of or reached out to. They very much came to me, where they saw what I was posting on LinkedIn. They're really curious. I didn't necessarily know they were investors. They were saying, oh, I saw you put out the post, you're looking for a chief commercial officer, or, oh, you know, I see you're building this with no sensors. You know, would you go for coffee? I'd love to find out more. Oh, they were like leaders in software as a service. And they turn around and say, oh, are you looking for investments? I said, yeah. They're like, well, do you want them? I was like, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So I think, like, that's definitely something to take away as well, is do not underestimate the power of LinkedIn and just the online hustle, because you don't know who's looking at your posts. And, you know, the best people can come from the most unexpected places, because LinkedIn is where I found our chief commercial officer as well. He just posted up on LinkedIn one day saying, oh, I'm looking for new opportunities in sports tech, you know, hit me up. And he had, you know, 7 years sports tech sales experience, worked with some of the best companies in the area, like Output Sports. They're one of the top sports tech startups in Ireland at the moment. Stack Sports, another huge success story. Kairos, who you might have heard, just got acquired the other week. They had a big announcement there on their acquisition. So, I mean, yeah, I think LinkedIn for, like, startups, but for also our industry in particular, in sports tech, is just a really, really good, you know, place to be online.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually fascinating, because I think when it comes to investment, people, I don't think, understand it's like the value of the cup of coffee, Joe, the personal aspect, the sitting down talking to someone. And it's a personality thing as well. A lot of the time it's like, you know, I back you, I know you know what you're doing, so let's go. And I think, you know, like, I'm definitely, like, I'm at this event over here at the moment, and you see the shark pit in the evening, where it's everybody's, you know, hustling to try to talk to the same people because they know they're the money people. And it's like, okay, that become, you know, you can see at these events that it's almost like overwhelming, that it's like, can I have money? But everybody's at the same stage. So it's almost like, yeah, it's just easier to use the online features, use LinkedIn, reach out to the right people. And at the end of the day, when you find the right partner, you're able to move things along, because it's not always about money. It's about, you know, what they can also bring to the table, I guess.
Absolutely. Even just getting that first bit of momentum, because, you know, there's some of these like public angel investors out there, let's say, where they're probably getting, you know, dozens of messages a day saying, oh, this is my great new startup idea. You know, they might be very, very wealthy, but, you know, there are a lot of people around the place that are interested in putting in, you know, 10,000 euros, 20,000 euros, where, okay, if you're building a business, you know, it might not last you forever, but it's enough to keep the lights on. It's enough to say to the next investor, oh, I already have five people in that have backed me. You know, are you coming in? So it kind of builds up that credibility all along. And it does teach you, you know, a key business skill of how do you actually manage money well, because, you know, you see all these, you know, glamorous startup shows and movies where it's, you know, Google and the bean bags and, you know, fancy coffee machines and all this, where, you know, we were, you know, cooped up in a pokey little room, you know, I was getting laptops from the seller that does the refurb down the road kind of thing. You know, it's a grind, and, you know, you can't expect, oh, it's your first bit of funding that you're going to get a million euros and, you know, live that startup dream life. So yeah, I think, you know, just trying to get trust early on. And a big thing that I found getting those first angel investors in was, you know, telling them, okay, I'm looking at this next goal, and then actually achieving it and keeping them up to date. Like, oh, you know, we're launching this, you know, testing partnership with the university. Oh, we're getting this feature built, or, oh, I'm going to take on, you know, a sales officer. And you actually like find these people, you get things done, and that just levels up the credibility all along. So, you know, they don't have to be huge goals, they can be small goals, but as long as you're showing any kind of momentum and traction, it really goes a long way in building up that trust, because most of them don't really know you from Adam.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's actually interesting that you say that, because it's like, it's, you know, the sacrifices that you need to make on the way as well to show. And just, you know, what's that book? I can't remember the book, but it's like, John, this idea of, you know, if you can be 1% better than you were yesterday, that's 365% in a year. And, you know, that's huge. So it's just do that bit more every day and just keep going. Like, this is I love this idea. I really do. Cause like, as I said before, like, I don't play sports. I can't play sports anymore. I played rugby for years. I played soccer for years. I'm now coaching and management and football because I have literally the left hip of a 90-year-old man. If I bend down the wrong way, I'll be genuinely tilted. So it's like looking at something like this going, I probably can't fix the damage now, but I can definitely structure myself better. So I think, you know, it's like injuries, sports teams. Like, I know for a fact I'd be turning around to like the lads on my team, you know, people who have reoccurring niggly injuries. It's like, there's something you're doing wrong. And is this something that you see going to field sports eventually, or is it going to stick very much as like a gym and physio type product?
Well, you see, like, this really started off as a gym product based on my own kind of passion and background for weightlifting. But most of the customers we have signed up that we're going to be launching with over the next few weeks are field sports. So we have rugby, we have soccer, we have American sports in there as well, GAA as well, because they're all doing strength conditioning and physio as part of their overall, you know, performance. So, you know, like some of the rugby teams we've been testing with, like they have the use case, for example, where, you know, if they're doing their gym day, which is, you know, 2-3, sometimes 4 days a week, they go in, the physio just sees, okay, how well are you moving? Jump on this thing, pull this, and they'll note some things on paper. Whereas with ours, they can just tap the iPad, no wearables, they can assess 3 or 4 times as many athletes before the session that they would normally have the time to do. So this is very much for all sports, and sports is just really where we're actually starting with this product. So, like, essentially the core of what we're building is biomechanical analysis as a software service. So we're actually looking to set up potential partnerships in the future that if someone has a really good physiotherapy prescription app, or, you know, a specific calling to for physios and patients, that we're just that extra layer of movement tracking recognition in that. Or the total other side of the market is like fitness app programming, where, you know, you go on to see, okay, what's my gym session today? And this is just an extra kind of layer on top of that. So we're literally going to like build out a whole marketing strategy for each of those sectors. But, you know, I really feel that this is something that can benefit like any kinds of movements. Like, our main restriction is that you have to be within 5 meters. That is the limitation of the camera on the iPhone and iPads at the moment. Because, you know, there are lots of companies out there that are doing, you know, pitch like analysis, let's say, for the actual in-game movement. But we're really focusing on is movement quality. So that's across your gym training, your physio. That applies to all sports and anyone who needs to do movement, which is pretty much like anyone and everyone.
Oh, that's so cool. I love this. I really do. I really love this idea. I think it's like, especially like some on an iPhone, you know, I'm not an iPhone user myself, but they are the most popular brand. So like, you know, and you see people, like, to be honest, like you go into any gym and you see people there with their cameras, you know, whether that's taking photos of just themselves flexing or they're actually recording their you know, most people are recording their motions or trying to see their exercises and stuff like this. So as you said, it's adding another layer to that and being able to kind of figure out your own structure. Body.
Testing and just like rapidly shortening that feedback loop, because that was a really annoying piece for me. Because when I was going through programs with my weightlifting coach before a competition, like I'd be recording maybe 20 videos in a session to send to him. So, you know, every time I was going over, set up the phone recording, just going back to the barbell and then, you know, going through the motions. And then after my session, I would crop the videos. He wouldn't be seeing the extra, you know, 20 seconds of me walking over, walking back, get them over to him. And then, you know, a day or two later, whenever he'd get around to it, he then said to me, oh, you know, lean over the bar more as you're coming up on the second pull, or, you know, you're tightening too quickly here, let's say. But like my gym session is long done at that stage. Whereas where this is going is that I can be doing my gym session. It'll alert me straight away whatever cues I'm looking for. And my coach can know, oh, this cue is flagged for Emma 4 times today. Maybe need to take a look at this. Because I was talking to some personal trainers that are only online. And one fellow in particular, he said he spends about 30 hours a week looking at videos that his clients send him. Because he'd get a video. We'd look at it 3, 4, or 5 times to see, okay, what kind of feedback can I give to the client? Yeah. And the amount of time that takes, whereas if he was just getting the information like, okay, you know, Tom, Sarah, Jack, these are the key points that you should probably look at and work them through. And then he could spend that time promoting his service, maybe seeing, you know, people in person, getting more money, or just, you know, improving, or what I mean is kind of driving up the value of his service that he's, you know, delivering way better coaching. So, you know, there's so many positive aspects for the trainers in this, as well as the actual end user. So myself, yourself, the athlete or the patient that, you know, is safer and improving, getting more benefits out of their exercise.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be more the patient than the athlete side anyway. Definitely these days. But like, I suppose like a question I want to ask is like, obviously, you know, this is, when people, how to say this without sounding rude, it's like, Joe, when people hear of sports companies, they automatically are going to assume, you know, big burly men weightlifting. Like, what does it mean for you being, you know, a female founder of a startup in Ireland, especially in the sports tech space? And, you know, just talk to me about that experience, I guess.
I mean, like over the years, like, it was really strange going into my course in college, because I came from an all-girl school, which I couldn't stand because it was so, like, I think single-sex school to start should just be done away. You can tell straight away going to college who went to single-sex school and who went to mixed school, because the first don't know how to talk to the opposite gender. So going from an all-girl school into computer science, which was 70 students total, but there were 8 girls that finished with, like, 5 girls, let's say. So it was total shift, but, you know, I was always very comfortable working in kind of a male-dominated environment. But, you know, the way trends have gone in recent years, more visibility on women in tech and promotion specifically of women in tech and female founders, to be honest, it has been a huge advantage for me. I find that people are, you know, very curious. And also, like, there are, you know, advantages out there in terms of, you know, there's certain quotas for grants, for investments. Like, I think it's a really good time to be, you know, a woman in tech or a female founder, because there are people that are actively trying to, you know, diversify their portfolio, let's say. But, you know, I think the challenges are pretty much the same for every founder, regardless of gender. It's like, you know, the grind is there, you know, getting funding is tough, getting product right is tough. But, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm at a disadvantage in any way by being a female founder.
That's really positive. No, because I've definitely, like, I've been to a lot of events over the last year or couple of years, and it's definitely something I've noticed. You know, you have dedicated women in tech spaces, and even just, you know, people being able to, I suppose, you know, female investors being able to talk to female tech founders, and just people being able to, like, leg up, because I suppose that whole idea, historically, it's not been what you know, it's been who you know, and that's horseshit, in my opinion. It should come down to quality and, like, ability more so than anything. So it's really good from my perspective to see that shift, because I don't think it should matter. And it's,
I mean, yeah, like, who you know is probably still a really big factor. But, you know, I've nothing to benchmark against, because, you know, other people are getting funded, but, you know, like, that could be down to anything, let's say, not necessarily, oh, who are their contacts. You need to make your own contacts as well, and that's through hustle, going to events. I mean, how I managed to find another person on my team was I went to the National Fitness and Wellness Summit in Aviva in mid-2022. Like, the only marketing spend that I've done for the company is print off a few t-shirts, stickers, and business cards. So I was wearing my branded t-shirt at this event, and he basically searched me on Google. We'd done our SEO tags ourselves. We hadn't spent money on Google AdWords. He saw the website, saw we were building. He came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "This looks really, really cool. I've been working in a large bank for years. I'm looking to get into startups. I'd love to help you with your finances. You know, can we work together?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." So, you know, there's small things you can do that don't cost the world, but, you know, you have to put in the effort yourself.
Yeah. I suppose, actually, a nice tangent from that question is, like, so let's say somebody starting a company tomorrow, especially in Ireland, what would be, like, the three things that you would say to them are the most important things that they need to either do or know?
Well, I mean, like, this, we are a huge advantage here in Ireland. The startup ecosystem here is, I think, second to none, in that Enterprise Ireland are, by figures, the number one venture capital fund in Europe, and they fund at the very earliest stage. You know, they, like, with their pre-seed star funds, they'll fund when you're just one person, you build some kind of a prototype, even if that screens on paper, as long as there's someone commercially willing to say, "This is going to solve my problem, I'm willing to pay for this." So, you know, just be aware of what supports are there from Enterprise Ireland. There's New Frontiers, very early stage, the pre-seed star funds. They have the innovation vouchers, which we've used multiple of, where they pay for the whole cost, but it's 5,000 euros. That's paid to a university to do a piece of research for you.
Nice.
And that can sometimes be, you know, internships, things like that. So, you know, you can access those even if you haven't had any funds, and you don't have to co-match it either. And there's also, like, the NDRC as well that do Founders Weekends, the pre-accelerator, and then their accelerator program. Because, like, you know, just going into New Frontiers again, like, I was on an accelerator program in Austria last year, and, you know, I was chatting to the other startup founders there. And they're saying, "Well, how have you been able to quit your job?" Because they were all still working, you know, part-time or full-time, you know, in other jobs while they were trying to build their company. And I said, "Well, you know, we got in this Enterprise Ireland program. It's all about, you know, how to do your market research, business planning, financials, and they give you a grant of 15,000 euros. And they were like, "That's absolutely mental. There's no such thing in Austria and most European countries where the government is actively funding startup companies. So, you know, like, we're very lucky here," and, you know, just tap into everything you can. And also, you know, everyone knows everyone in Ireland as well. The person you probably want to talk to is only one or two contacts away. So, like, you know, if you go on to New Frontiers or the NDRC Founders Weekend or Pre-Accelerator, the first thing you need to know is someone going to pay for this problem that I'm solving? Because I actually completely flipped the idea that I had going into New Frontiers. So when I applied for this, with that same video I showed you there, the color of the dots changing, because I thought the product I was building was going to be a smart mirror to sell to gym. Because I thought, oh, as a gym user, this would be so cool to go in, get my real-time feedback. So I thought, okay, my customer is a gym manager, and I'm going to build a smart mirror. And going in, I was chatting to, you know, gym managers around Galway. Like, I knew some of them, and then they introduced me to others. Like, knock on the door of some of them and say, oh, you know, I'd love to chat to you for 20 minutes about this new, like, sports tech startup idea I have. And, you know, the general feedback was, this is really, really cool, but I can't see us forking out thousands of euros for a smart mirror because it would cost that much to build. You know, it would get cracked, mirrors get cracked in gyms all the time. We'd have to pay a software subscription. I can't see how this fits in with our business model. But go talk to a physiotherapist, an athletic therapist, strength and conditioning coach, personal trainer, and, you know, get their interpretation, see what they think. So, you know, that's where all the kind of little breadcrumbs, little ideas came from. Like, oh, if we can just provide them key data points and not use any hardware, just use the iPhone or iPad. Like, that's a product. Like, their problem that they want to solve is how to quantify movement quality really quickly. That's the first problem that we're solving. And they're willing to pay for that because they're trying to solve it at the moment, using manual sensors, just doing it by eye and like writing down what they think it might be, or renting out like these massive biomechanical analysis labs. Like, I'm sure you might have seen these from movies and stuff where, you know, you're in a big room, there's all these cameras around the place, you just strip down to basically just your underwear, you get all these dots put on you, you have to get your body measured, the technician has to run the thing, and then they just get a raw data set that they have to clean, and then a week or two later you might get a report. Yeah. Whereas with our software, we've proven now with our innovation voucher by teeing up with ATU here in Galway that our software is above 95% the accuracy of these lab systems, but you get your results in less than 1% of the time. So if you want to remember anything from this chat, that's the tagline to take away.
Yeah, that is actually really cool. And this is the thing, like, you see with the movies and stuff like that, like, Joe, especially, like, I suppose the best example of anybody who would see those would be like the CGI setups when people are pinned with dots. And I suppose from a medical side, it's probably the exact same type of setup. And it takes time to get that data. What I really like about that, your model, is it's instant. And it's like, yeah, fix that, and then you're better. Well, not better, but, you know,
but you have the data then to action on it. That's the main thing.
And are you able then to go back and look at the your historic data so you can kind of see your progress? Or is it like once the video is gone and analyzed, it's up in the cloud?
I mean, it's up in the cloud and analyzed straight away. So like right now, the system that's launching on the 29th is just going to give like the data from each assessment, as we're calling it, one unit of a recording, let's say. But the next phase then coming over the next couple of months is we're going to be able to historically benchmark. So you can see over time, oh, this is how much, like if you had a knee injury, you know, you might have reduced range of motion. So you can see month by month or week by week exactly how well you're progressing, or compare that then if you're a team against other players on the team on how they're progressing through their rehab. And also then to be able to flag, oh, they were way off today compared to last week. You know, this is now, you know, a notification you get to actually intervene. So, you know, that's going to be a huge value add as well. Because, you know, right now they're trying to do all this manually typing into Excel. It's just bizarre. Even some of the, you know, most well-funded clubs in the world in their sport. So, you know, the convenience is there now. But it's only just in the last, like, literally 2 years that this technology is possible because of how good the hardware is on the phones and how effective, you know, we can make machine learning algorithms now.
Oh, so cool. And it's, Joe, you know, it's a great time as well, because I've even seen it definitely, like, even at local club level, like, because sport has become so, like, data-driven and data-oriented. Like, I've even seen clubs in Limerick, like, amateur football clubs that have, like, the video camera set up, and it's, like, players getting sent back, you know, match reports and stuff like this. And it's just, like, hold on. Like, we play twice a week on an AstroTurf, we go out on a match on a Sunday. But like, for younger players and younger athletes, then you're almost able to like get that extra bit of information, especially funnily enough, my final year project in college was related to rugby injuries, and I did product design, and probably related to my own back injuries and stuff like that. But again, if I know myself, if I had something like that at that age, you know, all that kind of access to footage, I probably could have, you know, not sustained some of the injuries, and probably, you know, kept playing a little longer. I'd still be done now. I'm not playing rugby to get hurt anymore. I'm just not doing that. But with sport getting so data driven, this is like a perfect time to get that out there. And it's like the young athletes, I think, are going to be people who get real benefit out of it. And physios, like the physio market is, it's huge, like sports rehabilitation, because you're even seeing like recovery centers and stuff all popping up around the country. So no, I love it. I actually don't have any other like major questions, because I just think your product's class, and I can't wait to go try it myself in the gym. But where, if people want to reach out to you, people want to check out the business, where can they find you?
So you can find me on LinkedIn, Emma Meehan, and the company page is Precision Sports Technology. So we're nearly at 2,000 followers on the LinkedIn page, so it'd be great if you can give us a like there. So you can add me on LinkedIn and you can drop me a message. You know, if you add me on LinkedIn and we don't have many connections, it'd be good just to drop a note saying, oh, I heard you on the podcast, I'll accept you straight away. Because, you know, as if, you know, if I have founder on my tagline on LinkedIn, I'm getting requests every single day. People say, oh, you know, do you want more deals, leads for your sales pipeline? Yeah. No, I guess it's every single day, like, Dan, basically. But yeah, like, very happy to chat to anyone. You know, about whether, like, because, you know, we're just about closing our funding round. Now there's a tiny bit left. So if anyone wants to come in last minute, there's potential there to come in from as little as €10,000 into the round. We'll also be hiring later on this year. We'll be looking for business development managers, so marketing, either part-time or full-time, not sure yet. Data analysts, data engineers, and some software engineering as well. So there's scope there as well for jobs. And the last thing then is potential partnerships. So if you're working in physiotherapy, sports science, strength conditioning, if you know anyone in that space, they would love to try out the product. We are going to market and launching very, very soon. So, you know, there are early stage discounts going out because, you know, this is the first iteration. You know, there are always going to be bugs and things that we find, but getting people in, using it, getting feedback, that's hugely valuable to us as well. So yeah, if you're interested in trying out the product, and find out about more about the investment rounds or jobs or anything like that, you know, happy to chat to anyone.
Awesome. Perfect. And I think that is a good place to wrap it up for today. So everybody watching, listening, or whenever the hell you're finding us, you know, good evening, good day, good morning, good night. Have a lovely time. And Emma, thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful to talk to you today.
Brilliant. Thanks, John.
Good luck. So bye, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.